Something amazing happened to me when I was shopping at Total Wine & More the other day. Not only did I find a new favorite vodka, but I also found the perfect gifts for everyone on my list thanks to Dave, one of their super helpful guides. I'll definitely be visiting my Total Wine & More again soon so I can pick up more great bottles for my holiday party, and all at the lowest price. This holiday, you'll love what you find only at Total Wine & More. Spirits not sold in Virginia and North Carolina. Drink responsibly. Be 21.
The Rich Eisen Show.
Hour number three of the Rich Eisen Show is on the air. 844-204-RICH is the number to dial. Great show so far. Shaquille O'Neal, hour two. Ryan Shazier in studio, hour one. If you missed it, we re-air right away after this show is over. 1 hour from now on the Roku channel, channel 210, there's our podcast version of the show that you can listen to whenever you want. There's our YouTube stream, youtube.com/Rich Eisen Show. Be part of the soon-to-be 500,000 subscribers there. There's also the Rich Eisen Show Collection, the video on-demand service, part of our partnership with Roku and the Roku channel. Very thrilled to let you know about all of that. And we've got Kelly O'Coyne, the actor from Billions, and who plays Dollar Bill. Very excited to have him here. Haven't seen him since 2019, I believe, is when I shot that episode of Billions, where he was fighting Mephi, and I was with Bob Menery doing the play-by-play of it. Craziness. Just, not going to lie. Total idiocy and craziness.
Right before everything
went
haywire.
But it's so much fun, man. So much fun. Great. So much fun. And ever since then, Bobby Axelrod bought the Mets, I think.
I think
himself Justin Verlander. So Dollar Bill will tell us all about it coming up shortly. Actually, Kelly's a huge fan of the Portland Trailblazers.
Blazers.
So we'll talk about that with
him. We are not uncertain, Rich.
I have been promising you my power rankings and promising you that I think the guys here are going to hate it. So I just want to butter you up and say you look great today, Chris. Here on top of hour number three, and Del Tufo looks so great he's turned into Jason Feller.
He does look better, right?
That Jay Feller.
Where did he, is he going?
I don't know. Is there a door that under, like, do you pop up like Destiny's Child did at the Super Bowl years ago?
Yeah, I pop up. He runs out the back and smooth sailing.
Say my name. Say
See
my
you later.
Name.
He doesn't even say goodbye because he's embarrassed.
I think he realizes how absurd it is.
That he's got to leave. Yeah. Like, he can't get there 2 hours from now. He's got to get there an hour from now. Wait, to do what? To get ready for the, to set the board for tonight's game?
I don't know. I'm just going to check how long it
really. It's all good. It's all good. Thank you for being here, Jason. And good to see you, TJ, in hour number three of the program.
Good to be seen, Rich.
So we were on the air live yesterday when the news came across the old Twitter machine. Used to come across a wire.
Beep, 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 beep.
John Robinson, the general manager of the AFC South, leading and absolutely going to win AFC South, defending champion, number one seed from last year, Tennessee Titans, the general manager, John Robinson, got fired. And so much being said about it's got to be more than what was the obvious, that A.J. Brown used to be on the team. They let him walk. They traded him. Instead of letting him walk, they trade him and don't want to pay him. Eagles are like, we'll pay him. And their quarterback turns into an MVP favorite in the process. It helps. It's not the only reason why, but Jalen Hurts has got a connection with A.J. Brown that I don't think we saw very much with Ryan Tannehill, but be that as it may, could have seen it, not seen it, and they get waxed in Philadelphia.
Waxed.
With A.J. Brown showing everybody what he used to do or can do and isn't doing. And also the Titans don't have that gear. So maybe it's as simple as that. And a lot of, you know, we thought about it since obviously it happened on this show. It was discussed quite a bit in Tennessee and some of the coverage I saw. The conversation we had with Mike Vrabel mere weeks before last year's NFL draft, in which A.J. Brown did get traded, confirming that the rumors had a lot of smoke and then the fire. But this was a few weeks before the trade when I asked him about the trade rumors. Is A.J. Brown on the trade block, Mike Vrabel?
As long as I'm the head coach, I I love AJ professionally, personally. You know, I've gotten to know him well as his coach, and enjoy, you know, seeing him as much as I possibly can. So, as long as I'm the coach here, I would want to have AJ Brown on my football team.
Says the at the time reigning coach of the year and a guy who is doing a terrific job this year. 7-5 the Titans are, and there's been smoke and there's been some mirrors, and this guy can coach his ass off, as we know. So he was asked about the Robinson firing and brought up the A.J. Brown trade again today. He said that he had nothing to do with the firing. I mean, that's, you know, there's just a lot of chatter. You hear a lot of jibber jabbering about, well, you know, he's not happy with the situation with A.J. Brown. And he's not happy with the wide receivers. He's been talking about the wide receivers. And this is the guy who shops for the groceries. So maybe, you know, Vrabel greased the skids at the very least. He said he didn't know anything about it. He was just told. John Robinson's out. This is what he had to say about the A.J. Brown when it was revisited with him yet again today.
You said at the time that you were on board with the A.J. trade when it happened and that you and John had talked about it and shared a wall. Do you still feel that way about the A.J. trade?
Here's what I feel. I feel like, you know, to look back in the past and second guess, like, we made a decision and that we felt like was in the best interest of the football team, and, you know, the decision and that we wanted ahead at the time. And so, you know, AJ's in Philadelphia and we're moving forward. Of course, you know what I mean? Like, we all, you know, again, there's decisions, and then when you make decisions, you respect them and you make sure that, you know, again, we find ways to prepare the players to win, and that we ultimately win, and that we're doing our job, and that we're held to a high standard.
Just to clarify, Mike, then you were in the discussions to some extent at that time on the AJ trade?
I'm pretty much, you know, in my history here, have been aware, I would say, of almost everything that's, you know, happened on a personnel standpoint. There's been, you know, John and I, again, have a great relationship, had a great professional relationship, and that's, you know, that's how things work.
I'd like head coaches who are reigning coach of the year, coaches who are 7-5 and going to win a division, coaches who need a win for 1,000, Alex. That's a rarity right there. 7-5, gonna win the division, gonna print the playoff ticket for the home fans. Going to happen. Just hasn't happened yet. It will happen. Rest of the division, they are clear, head and shoulders above the rest of the division. But you want to talk about the rare instance of that guy, reigning coach of the year, currently 7-5, gonna win the division, still in really much need of a win. That's that guy right there. To turn the page. But look,
they got a get right game too. They got Jacksonville this week.
That's also a guy right there who certainly sounds like he's not going to shovel dirt on top of the general manager, with whom it does appear he had a good relationship for the most part.
Yeah.
But on the AJ Brown trade,
they definitely disagree.
There's no way he's sitting there saying, "What do you mean you can't find a cap room? Let's go. Right. We'll figure out something else. Yeah, give me somebody else. Like, I'll coach up somebody who we need to get on the cheap, but we got to keep this guy. Yeah. Come on. What do you think the head coach of the Tennessee Titans is going to be like? Yeah. Just tell A.J. Brown we can't pay him. I'll figure it out. Don't worry. 3 weeks after saying, not as long as I'm the coach here.
Yeah, no chance.
He's the guy who says, take your heart pills and buckle up. That's how A.J. Brown plays football. I mean, he is the personification of the way Vrabel wants to play football. And it did not help that he ran over a defender. Ran over. Like, full Rex Chapman blocker charge type collision. And the penalty was on the defender as he ran free.
Just threw him and wide open for a touchdown.
After he stepped out of bounds on the previous one.
Basically had a touchdown, but his big toe was out of bounds.
And then on a contested throw, I wonder what the PFF or the next gen stat was on the window of, like, the ball.
It was like behind him with one hand
right
on the outside.
Went past the defender, blanketed on him, and he I think he pinned the ball against the defender and catching it with one arm.
It had to have been less than 10%.
I mean, good Lord. The worst possible game for Robinson and the Titans. I think it's as simple as that, along with the rest of the decisions that have been made and roster decisions that have been made and draft choices that haven't panned out. And then, you know, it's a quarterback-driven league. You're trying to chase Josh Allen. You're trying to chase Patrick Mahomes. You're trying to chase Joe Burrow now and Lamar Jackson and potentially Justin Herbert if he can get it together, if the Chargers can get it around him. And the place where you got Tannehill from, supposedly leaving them in such a lurch, they're set now with Tua and the coach that they currently have with a dynamic offense that the Titans certainly don't appear to have. I think that's as simple as what we got.
Yeah, nailed it. Yeah.
And the owner's sitting there, and she's thinking, I see it. Got to do it. Middle of the season. That's rare.
Just 6 weeks from the playoffs.
Say the least.
Crazy.
Where they're going to be, have a home playoff game. Home. Wow. It's going to happen. It's going to happen. I mean, it's possible Ravens come there, Bengals come there, Dolphins come there.
Yep.
Possible the Bills come there because they're probably going to be four. It's going to be five. Yep. Whoever's five is going to go to Tennessee. Because whoever wins the North, West, and East is going to have a better record than the Titans. Whoever's five in the standings is going to Tennessee. And by the way, you can make book that'll be your first playoff game. Early window on the Saturday.
That's the Saturday, 1 o'clock.
Smell the aroma. Smell it. It reeks of first Saturday wild card weekend playoff game.
Bacon, eggs, and Titans football.
Reeks of it.
And then that Saturday night game is going to be Dallas and Tampa.
I don't know.
I mean,
there we go.
You know what I mean?
Yeah.
And then what's the middle game?
Huh?
What's the middle game?
I'm not happy with that.
What's the middle game Saturday?
I don't think there'll be a middle game Saturday. I think there's three Sunday, and don't forget the Monday nighter. That's going to
be a Monday night. So two Saturday.
Two Saturday, three Sunday, one Monday.
So we got a 1 o'clock in Tennessee, and then we got Saturday night.
4 o'clock Tennessee.
Well, 4 o'clock
Tennessee. 3 o'clock Tennessee. So you've got to do the Central time, yeah.
And then like a 6:30 in Tampa for Dallas and Tampa.
Yeah.
Oh, baby, let's go, TJ. Let's go to the game. Let's go to Tampa for the game.
Okay, but can we get someone to overtake Tampa? Please.
Who?
Anybody? I don't want to have to play them.
Have you seen the South? They're terrible.
Excuse me.
Can they assemble an Avengers Assemble
for
type team?
For your sake, you're going to have Tampa overtake someone else to get out of the fourth seed in the NFC, and I don't see that coming.
So we're just
because the Niners are the Niners are the only closest object in their over their steering wheel.
Mm-hmm.
And this week's game would be pretty big. That would be huge if Brady can win this one over Brock Purdy.
By the way,
I just said these words.
Unironically, like totally dead serious.
But talking facts.
If Brady can beat Brock Purdy.
But as I keep saying, Brady doesn't have to worry about Brock Purdy. He's got to worry about Bosa. And that's a problem.
Fred Warner.
Yet another.
And Altoona's own Kevin Givens.
By the way, Nick Bosa, yet another Defensive Player of the Week honor for him. He is on track to Defensive Player of the Year. He was Defensive Player of the Month for the NFC in November, and then first week of December, he's Defensive Player of the Week.
Oh, that was a hot Twitter debate yesterday between Richard Sherman and Emmanuel Acho.
What?
Nick Bosa versus Micah Parsons for the Defensive Player
of the
Year.
Both of their stats are ridiculous when you put them side by side.
Yeah, it's pretty ridiculous.
Well, stay right where you are, Chris. I was going to do the power rankings now, but we talked too long. We got off track, so we're going to save it for the end. Trust me, don't go anywhere because these guys are going to hate it. But you also can't move because you're about to disprove that you can be in the same room as Kelly O'Coin and not be him.
Yeah,
okay?
It's been a thing.
This is going to be a thing.
A lot
of people have, you know.
Yeah.
So we're about to see him in person.
I'm not Dollar Bill.
About to see him in person.
Not Dollar Bill.
Very good.
I do have a vest. I can wear the vest.
We've never seen Pelissero and Palmer in the same room.
Kelly O'Coin.
Never seen you in the coin.
Joining us here next on the Rich Eisen Show. Don't you dare move. here on the Rich Eisen Show, here on the Rich Eisen Show terrestrial radio network, as well as Sirius XM and Odyssey, sitting right next to me. I'm all axe capitaled out with my mug and my axe cap zip up vest. The man who plays Dollar Bill on Billions and in town for the Sterling Affairs about Donald Sterling, based on the Ramona Shelburne podcast that she's been on to talk about. Kelly O'Coin, great to see you here.
Great
sir.
To see you too.
Let's just jump in. What do you want to talk about your Blazers? Go for it.
My Blazers. It's interesting. We are about where I thought we would be, actually a little better off than I thought we'd be, given that this is the most brutal NBA schedule I have seen in the NBA for a long time.
Right.
I think that the start, which was very exciting, got people's hopes up a little bit in Portland, maybe thought we were further along than we were. But I think, you know, we're two games over 500, given all the new guys we got, and overall, it's a very young team. And that brutal schedule, I think actually we're in a pretty good position.
You're sitting a half game in front of the Warriors, which I think I would have, if I'd given you a piece of paper, you would have signed that back in October.
I would have absolutely taken that.
You know, for sure, right now. Yeah. And so are you from Oregon?
I was born outside of Portland. So my family's from the mountains, the Ben Redmond sisters area. But I spent half my life in Washington, D.C., like before college, literally evenly split.
Mm-hmm.
And I may have told you this before, when I was 10, we had just moved a year before to Washington, D.C., and the Blazers won the championship. And it was kind of like a little bit of Oregon saying, it's going to be okay, kid. And then the next year, the Bullets, my adopted team, East Coast team, won. And I was like, well, 11-year-old me was like, well, this is great. You know, you like a team and they win championships. Fantastic.
And now,
never since.
Now you're a grizzled man who's hollow inside,
beaten down by years of near misses.
At least, you know, not at least. Lillard is just such a great player and person to root for. And the fact that he hasn't done the trade demand, my clock's ticking.
Yeah.
Like he's stuck with the program. He's stuck with a change in coaches, change in management. He is stuck with it.
Absolutely. And, you know, I think that when we made it to the Western Conference Finals, I think that probably there was thought on his side, maybe, I'm obviously not in his brain, that we've taken that next step and now it's just a matter of time before we can push through and win and get in the finals. And then it didn't go that way, so even with that sort of real that hope plucked away from him, he still remains steadfast that he wants to stay and build in Portland. And, market teams, we got to love that.
Sure. Is he your favorite Blazer of all time, or are we going way back here?
I could name five. He's definitely top five.
Who are your others?
Brandon Roy, Maurice Lucas, Terry Porter, and Jerome Kersey also. And you got to love Buck. You got to love Bill Walton. I got Bill Walton on my screensaver because he came to see a play I was in. And I was like,
come on,
you're not leaving. Yeah, I was in San Diego doing a play. And the kids in the dressing room were like, Bill Walton's out there. And they were all Laker fans because it was in La Jolla. And I was like, stop effing with me. I got him. And
did he come back?
He didn't come back, but I mean, he's doing great now, so I can sort of make this offhand comment. You know, they were like, he's not moving that fast. You're not going to.
Right.
He's not going to outrun you. So you just get dressed and go out and you'll find him. And I did and took a selfie where my collar's all askew because I was just like, I got to get out there before he leaves.
Did he tell you your performance was marvelous? It was
transcendental. It was the greatest transcendent performance of all time.
John Wooden once told me, you know,
I love my life.
To take your moments.
One of my favorite people when I was at ESPN was Dr. Jack Ramsey. You want to talk about human beings and just caring, but also giving and sitting down. And you could ask him any question. Like I asked him about his plaid pants and stuff like
that.
Yeah, of course.
And he had a sense of humor about it.
Big time.
That's great.
Big time. And so I turned, I had my 30th birthday party in New York City when I was at ESPN back in the day. And I bring this up because it happened. I had it in New York City and either... a whole bunch of people from ESPN were coming or they weren't. And it was all depending. It was all depending on if the Knicks could extend the NBA finals at the time against the San Antonio Spurs.
Yeah.
And all you had to do was win one more game. And that would mean that everyone was still in town for one extra game in New York. The Knicks won it. And so Dr. Jack Ramsey was at my 30th birthday party.
God.
And it was one of the great, I just looked around. I'm like, He couldn't have been nicer.
I would have died happy if Jack Ramsey had been at my birthday. That's great.
A lucky guy.
And wasn't it? That was Sprewell in Houston took over the end of that game and won it in a squeaker, right?
And they forced an extra game, so everyone was there.
You owe them.
I do.
Really? Yeah. This is a good memory. Yeah.
I do. Kelly O'Coin here on the Rich Eisen Show. Let's jump into some of this good stuff here. Let's start with the Sterling affairs. This is based on Ramona Shelburne's podcast on the Sterling.
Right. Yeah. It was a 6-part podcast, which is amazing. If you haven't, anyone hasn't listened to it, it's terrific. She's great. I've talked with her a number of times about it. She's an executive producer on the show as well. It's going to be on FX. I play Andy Roser, who was the president of basketball operations with the Clippers.
And Ed O'Neill, is Donald Sterling.
Donald Sterling. Lawrence Fishburne is Doc Rivers. Jackie Weaver is Shelley Sterling. It's a great cast.
She's by the way.
Perfect.
She looks just like Sterling's wife. My God, what a casting gig that
it's
is.
It's a bit of a mind.
For those who might, she's in Yellowstone right now. She's in Yellowstone
right
now.
That's right.
For
she those was in Silver Linings Playbook.
Yes, she was. She's perfect casting.
Totally. And when I did, so I was in New York still when the first table reads were happening. Mm-hmm. And so I was zooming in, and all of a sudden I heard this voice, person doing, I was like, I knew Ed O'Neill was playing Donald Sterling, but I heard the voice and I was just like, I thought maybe they were running tape of something to get us started. It was so dead on perfect.
He nails it. He's Ed O'Neill.
And he does his own, it's not an impersonation, but it's just, it's a mind F. See, I learned.
I appreciate that. No, and you're a diehard NBA fan and Western Conference Hoops fan because you're a Blazers fan.
My wife and I were watching Winning Time, and she reminded me that I turned to her and I was just like, I got to get a basketball show. And 2 weeks later, I got this.
Get out of here.
So it's the only time I've ever manifested something positive in my life. So
you weren't sitting there with your money manager saying, I need to get in a show about managing money. I need to do that.
That's right. How do I get into a finance show? I want my nickname to actually be currency.
About somebody with no scruples whatsoever. Who are you channeling as Dollar Bill Stern? Who are you doing that?
You know, I wasn't really channeling anyone. The character I was in two scenes in the pilot. I just thought that the writing was so specific that I knew this guy. And every time I film, my jaw hurts. So I'm like, there's something I'm doing. You know, he's just aggressive. And my wife always tells me that my legs are about 2 feet wider when I stand than they normally are. So there was just something physical that started to happen.
I love that.
You know, it was just like,
yeah.
And she's also told me if I bring an ounce of dollar bill home, then I'm out. But so noted.
She's a wise
lady. Yeah. Yeah.
Knows about relationships, clearly.
Yep.
And how they work.
Well, as we know, Dollar Bill has a second family. So
that's true, too.
And a girlfriend.
Right.
Sarah Stiles.
Right.
Brilliant Sarah Stiles playing Bonnie. And we see much more of her than we ever saw the two wives.
Right.
But you did get to see them each once. My wife likes to remind me that she's, she's the first wife.
What's the favorite line that has been written for you that you can repeat here? Because the way that Koppelman and Levine write this, there's a certain staccato to obviously the show and the delivery, but the similes and the analogies that they come up with to pop culture, they just come out of left field.
Yeah,
I'm just wondering what's your favorite line?
There's so many. I mean, the classic, of course. I'm Kaiser Soze, mother effer, and Koppelman told me at lunch one time, first season, he was like, I just wrote maybe my favorite line ever for you.
And that's it?
And I was like, oh, cool. And he's like, you'll know it when you see it. And we sat down to the table read and I said the line and he was at the far end and he just looked down and he was like, ah? And I was like, yeah.
Sold.
And then there's another, just in terms of like alliteration, there was one where I'm saying, I want them to flow like the Kankamanga Rapids or something like that. And it's just like they know how to get, like you said, staccato. The consonants and it's hard to memorize at first, but then it's impossible to forget. Like it's the writing is so specific and so deliberately done in a specific way. You can't contract if they say cannot. They don't want you to say can't. Mm-hmm. If they write can't, you can't say cannot. Like they are so specific with the line.
Really?
There's no improv. There's no embellishing. There's no, I know how I would say it. They're like, no. No, you don't.
Interesting.
Yeah, okay. Even after 7 years.
It makes sense.
It did, because they're good at what they do. And anytime I've tried to cut a corner and think they won't notice, they do. And it's always better than what I wanted to do.
How about that?
Yeah.
How about, and it just shows like Billions are, or Succession.
Yeah.
Where it's so well written and acted and it's dramatic, but you're laughing out loud half the time. You know, like laugh out loud.
Yeah. Sometimes with those two shows you mentioned, it's like just the audacity of these people. Like, the behavior, it's fun. I'm so unlike Dollar Bill, but maybe like a 180. But it's so much fun to misbehave, you know? You get to like try that little fleece vest on, and
it's all like your armor.
It's like my armor. Yeah.
And you and Dan Soder, just Mephi. Oh, it's just great. It's a great you know, character arc for the both of you.
Yeah.
And the fact that I, you know, they call up, they say, "Hey, Rich, we need you in New York. Are you up for it?" And I, when I got that phone call about, "Hey, we'd love for you to be part of the show. Can you do it?" And I'm like, "When is it?" And they told me, you know, January. And I'm like, just please, it cannot be a playoff weekend for NFL playoff weekend. It was right in the middle of the week. And I didn't even tell you guys.
I'm going to be gone on a Wednesday. I'm like, what? Why?
Why? It's the NFL playoff week, which is tough for me to take off. So I did it. And they had no idea that that's what I went to do. I actually kept it a secret.
It was actually, he did us dirty.
So
did you not know until it aired?
No, he had told us he had filmed it.
Yes, okay. Right. But there were a bunch of people I didn't tell until it aired, and people were like freaking like, what the hell? And so by the way, they did tell me to ad-lib some of the lines, about calling the action of you and Mephi boxing against each other.
Because I was just remembering a couple of these brilliant ones, and actually, I'm going to, three things, and then tell me if they were written or ad-lib.
Sure.
Well, there's a patty cake. And there's a baker's man. Is that you?
Yeah. I mean, there were a few lines written to set things up.
Sure.
But when I'm calling the action,
right,
I was just doing all of that stuff.
That's not strictly legal.
That might have been written.
Okay.
That might have been, I think that was written. That's not strictly legal at all. But and what's the third one? What's
you did the first two, but then it was like, that's not strictly legal. And then again, not strictly legal. And then later on, it was like, okay, that's not legal. It was just like this devolution.
They were tossing me some stuff to say. And then they said one time, you do it. And I thought they were going to keep one of my favorite line. I can't curse here because I worked blue. I'm like, you know, when you and Mephi start leaning on each other, and it's the worst fight ever.
It's so bad. If anyone hasn't seen it, it's so bad.
It's the worst fight ever. And now we're instead of me trying to call it like a real match, I am now openly derisive about the action that I am now being, you know, I have to lower myself to call.
Yeah.
So I said, you know, they're going to make a movie out of this. It's going to be called Raging Bull S. It's what I called. Like, that's going to be
pretty
the
good.
Name of it. I thought,
pretty good line.
I thought for sure that was in. And I was, when I watched it back, I'm like, how did they not? You know, I was like, an honor for me to work blue on Billions.
Right, right.
And then there was a shot I took. I think I gave it to Mike Hoskins, our CP, a shot of you and Mephi and the ref from my position while you were just on a break.
Right.
And this is like one of my favorite photographs. You know, there you are.
Oh, that is
Soder's got his arms around you and the ref. I don't know what the hell you were talking. Were your ribs broken by this point?
He broke my rib on the first take.
Dude!
The first take of the first scene. Yeah, he was like, we had it. We choreographed this and we worked on it for like a month and a half.
Yeah.
It was down to a T. But then you get in front of like 200 extras. The cameras are actually on and adrenaline starts to kick in.
Yeah.
And it was just a little hard and a little high because I had, you know, we had these little flak jacket-like things on down here. A little hard. And he didn't do that. He pushed through.
Damn.
And I felt a ka-ching. And I was like, that's not good.
That's not what you're supposed to feel like.
Illegal.
Nice.
and it hurt, but it didn't. And you could feel it, you know, like there was a medic on
it. It's a broken rib,
it's
brother.
It was clean in half, but it was... It was not, it was flush. Like it didn't, it wasn't
that's good then.
Yet.
Okay.
Sure. And the medic was like, you should go get an x-ray. Levine and Koppelman gave me the, I want to make it clear. I did stay the whole time, but they told me, go. If you need to go, go. And I stayed the whole time.
You were there.
It was an 8-10 hour shoot.
Yeah.
Because
I was there.
It was hugely expensive to rent
it
that
was
again.
Incredibly ornate.
First
I don't know what.
First take.
It's unbelievable. And did Deontay Wilder send you back out there? Because he was in your corner. Stipe Miocic was in the corner of Soder.
It was so much fun working and meeting Deontay. I love that guy. But he was like, both of those guys were like, nah, you'd know it if it were broken. Nah, you'd know it. Come
on. So they don't even know.
Yeah.
What the hell do they know?
Right. It's like, I feel it. Right. Yeah. And then it turned out, so the next day I woke up and I could barely move. And I went to, the adrenaline was gone, you know.
Yes.
I went to get the x-ray. I was like, oh, yeah, it's broken. Of course it's broken. You felt like a chunk. What do you think it was?
And I was like, well, Deontay Wilder, the champ told me that it wasn't, so I decided I should suck it up. And he was like, that was stupid.
Wow. Paging Dr. Wilder. Paging Dr. Wilder.
Anyway.
Kelly O'Coin here on the Rich Eisen Show. And I'm going to put you in a little bit of a spot. I hope you don't mind, because you're kind enough to let me know you're in town. By the way, that is proof that you don't have an ounce of dollar bill in you, because if you had an ounce of dollar bill, I would have seen you out and about, like, hey, you're supposed to tell me when you're in town next. Instead, you're like, yep, I'm promoting nothing, but I'm in town. Let's go hang out. Like, good enough.
Yeah, totally.
So, and I appreciate that. You know, last time we saw Bobby Axelrod, he went on a plane. And we haven't seen him since. He is in hiding. You know, he's evading the long arm of the law.
Yeah. You're looking at me intently.
I'm looking at you intently
because
season 3's
coming.
Season 7's coming soon. What do you think? I mean, and I know the actor Damian Lewis had a lot going on in his personal life. As his wife passed away, and he's got kids, and that's what he's focusing on. But, man, I would love to see Bobby Axelrod back.
I mean, he's so good in the role, and it's such an iconic character. But, you know, I think... He had a 5-year contract. Mm-hmm. He and his family live in the UK.
Mm-hmm, right.
I think it was just at a certain point, it was just a lot, and he gave it all, his all. And I think that the outro that was written by Brian and David and created by them was really satisfying. I know people miss him, but it's been fascinating to watch Corey Stahl, who's a brilliant actor, inhabit Mike Prince, and like the cracks in his facade are becoming more interesting all the time.
Well, not saying his character insufficient as a fan of the show. I'm just wondering, is there anything you can
they tell me nothing.
Zero, huh?
They tell me nothing. I know what happens based on literally the script I get that often is 2 weeks before we start shooting, sometimes a week before we start shooting.
How about that?
We're into shooting season 7. I've been going back to a lot of red eyes in my life right now, which is great.
From the Sterling affair to Billions, back and forth. That's so cool.
And it's fun. And I will say it's very, the first two episodes are very satisfying. Really fun.
Okay.
So, yeah.
All right. Well, I would not be disappointed, let's just put it this way, if all of a sudden... Bobby Axelrod, because it would be just like him saying, I can't quit that life. I can't just, you know, run and hide.
There's a show, if you want a little fix, Damien, Steve Kunkin, who plays Spiros, is also in it. Mm-hmm. It's something about a spy. I don't know the title of it, but it's about to come out.
Okay.
He's
stupendous. I mean, obviously in Homeland and Band of Brothers.
I love that Damien, my two favorite things, my show Billions and the Portland Trailblazers, both are led by Damians. Damian Lewis and Damian Lillard.
I like it.
And that my favorite basketball player shares my nickname.
I like it. And by the way, you were great in The Americans, too. Tremendous television show that was also.
I was 100% sure I was going to screw that audition up because it was already my favorite show on TV. And thank God I didn't.
What do you mean?
So I auditioned late season 2,
yes.
Mid season 2, came in late season 2, mm-hmm. But I was obsessed with the show, and you know, you put that pressure on yourself. It's like, oh, I have an audition for like a recurring character on my favorite show. It's well, I can't F this up, you know?
Right.
And I didn't, thank God, because I have done that before.
You have?
Oh yeah. I've gone in wanting something so badly that I can't stop my hand from shaking, or I'm not catching my breath.
Right.
And they can smell fear in the room, man. They can smell need. You know, no one wants to hire an actor who walks into the audition room needing the job. Mm-hmm. Everyone knows you need it, but you don't want to see it.
Yeah.
They can smell fear.
Well,
Not that they want to. They're generally nice, but
so can Lillard.
Yeah,
but good thing you could just, you know, you could just shoot it from the logo, brother. Just yeah, like there your you guy. Go. Just like your guy. At Kelly O'Coin 77. Why 77? Oh, duh. That's the year the Blazers won. Like that's the 77 in your in your social?
I like to pretend it was the year I was born. Or when when people ask, oh, were you born in 77? I just like, I don't disabuse them of that thought.
You want to ask him a question before he gets out of Dodge?
Oh, I was just looking. Well, first off, is the actor who plays Spiros as like weird as his character?
Steve Kunkin?
Yeah.
Oh yeah, total freak job. Freak show. No, he's great. He's a everyone shares at least something. Most of the people share a little something. I do think Damian is an alpha, but he's the sweetest alpha you'll ever meet and a great ensemble player. David Costable plays Wags.
He's got some Wags in him?
He can be, he's as flamboyant as that, but he's also, again, not a sociopath. So
there's a gray area.
And he's, so whenever we get like a nice bottle of whiskey or something as a gift, he's always like, did you drink it? Did you drink? Because I'm like, no, it's too, I can't open that. It's too expensive. If I drink it, I won't have it anymore. And he's like, you drink it. You know, he's got the libertine. And Kunkin is quirky in certain ways. He is a coffee fanatic.
Okay.
But no.
He's there for comic relief, really. And he does such a good job.
Yeah, and he's such a brilliant actor. I love those episodes when Bill and Spiros actually started working together a little bit. When we smashed the Porsche, he and I just, we could barely catch our breaths. We were like 12-year-old boys breaking stuff. You know, it was a lot of fun.
And quick, you did one episode of The Sopranos. What was that like?
We got Terrence Winter in that chair tomorrow, as a matter of fact.
Oh, cool.
I don't know if he wrote that episode, but
I did. You know. I did one episode where I get in the back of a car. A handler and an informant are in the front. I'm an FBI agent. I get in the back of the car. It's pouring down rain, and I sit and I listen to them very angrily, and I grab a picture and say, was this man with him? She says, yes. And I look even more pissed, and I get out, and I drive away. That was my Sopranos career. Yeah. Is this man with him?
But at least you still get a residual check from it, right?
I do. I get like a penny or two every once in a while. Yeah,
I get that too.
I should frame that.
Not from The Sopranos, but from my two different episodes of CSI Miami.
Oh, seriously? Oh, I gotta go back and look.
Yeah. Don't blink. Okay. Don't blink. I'll let you know when it's on. Nice. Kelly, thanks for letting me know you're in town, sir.
Absolutely. Thank you for
having
me.
Great to see
you.
Anytime you're back out here and you got some time, I'd love to see you. Check out, do we know when the Sterling Affair hits?
I don't. I'm going to.
Next year, some point?
Yeah, it'll be next year. It's either be spring or fall, probably.
And then coming soon, season 7 of the great show Billions, man. Yeah. Thanks for coming on.
Thank you.
And then good luck to your Blazers as they move along.
Yeah, go Blazers.
There you go. That's Kelly O'Coin here on the Rich Eisen Show. I'm my Axe Capital gear I'm proudly wearing here on the program. Don't go anywhere. We're back to wrap up this show in a moment. Fun show, huh?
Yeah, man. Really good time.
Well,
every show's fun, though.
It's
really.
All leading up to the stirring conclusion.
Here we go.
Of my Wednesday power rankings that when I did this last night, I was watching Mavs and Nuggets with Coop. I'm doing it. And I turned to my son, and I'm like, the guys are going to hate this tomorrow.
And what did he say?
I hate it too, Dad.
He was just focused on making sure he was beating Adam in our fantasy.
Oh, yeah, let's go. Coop. Someone we need to that.
Hit it. Power rankings. All right, they're all over the map. I mean, honestly, you try and figure out what order a top 10 in the NFL right now after last week. It is definitely all over the map. And the way I view things is in the now. Who's better now? That's the ranking. And the power is who can go further the longest.
Okay.
That's the way I'm looking at it. Number 10 on the list, and I'm putting them here because of their record, which I know you appreciate. But their record is here, and they keep on winning games, and they're still in the mix. I was not impressed with their win at all, and I'm concerned about the way that they're playing. But the Ravens are back on the list at 10. They're my 10th-ranked team right now. Whoa. It's going to be Snoop Huntley for a while. They're 8-4. And they're sitting atop the AFC North right
but
now.
But if you're concerned about the future, which looks like it won't have Lamar Jackson, then they should
for one or three weeks.
They shouldn't be on the list.
Well, I wasn't putting like the Washington Commanders above them. I think they beat the Commanders.
What do you mean? They're playing better than the Ravens right
Number
now.
Number nine on this list is a team that lost, and they're up one spot. I loved my New York Jets. I think the Jets are a top 10 team
in the
NFL right now.
They moved up?
They did. They did. They moved up a spot. I knew you're going to hate this, and you're heckling me in real time. And, sir, I will have you thrown out of the club shortly. Tip your waitress. They're number nine on this list. I think they're one of the top defensive teams in the league. And had Mike White actually gotten in from the one-yard line, they're number nine on this list. They moved up one spot. Number eight, they've moved down two spots.
Did they win last week?
They did not.
Okay.
The Miami Dolphins are number eight on this
list.
Right,
that's fair.
And the Jets have beaten the Dolphins, and the Dolphins are above them. Okay? But I still put the Dolphins on this list. I still think they're a top 10 team. I know Tua didn't have a terrific game, but two throws put points on the board. They're so quick strike, and that's against the best defense in the league. I like the Dolphins at number eight on my list. No change. The Vikings took care of business against the Jets. I'm still just not impressed. I mean, not.
What more do they have to do? They have 10 wins.
I know. I still think that my Jets should have gotten them. I just couldn't put them any higher on this list. Certainly since the Cincinnati Bengals sit on six on this list. They moved up two spots. I love this team. God, do I love Joe Burrow and the way they are playing. And they're just going to keep improving and keep on coming for you. And when you think that they're not just as good as last year, they're going to keep showing you they are. They're number six on this list, moved up two spots. Number five, down three spots. I know they won. I know they won. And they're down three spots. I'm really concerned about Brock Purdy leading this team where they need to be, but they're still so damn good. Okay. I've got to have them in my top five. I got to have him in my top five, and I know it was a first blush thrown in the game, and he performed very well against the Miami Dolphins, but this is a lead pipe wielding defense coming at them by a lead pipe wielding coordinator and coach and Todd Bowles. I need to see what Purdy looks like right now. I love this team, and I chose him to go to the Super Bowl, but that was with Jimmy G. I need to reserve spots in the top three or four for a team that's not quarterbacked by the last chosen draft pick.
I actually think that's pretty reasonable.
Number four, the Cowboys, no change. They're still sitting there, number four on this list. I'm keeping them number four. I mean, look, it was 21-19 going into the fourth quarter, and the roof caved in. You know, they were having trouble at home on Sunday Night Football against the Colts for three quarters. I can't move them up the list.
The roof caved in because we put pressure on the roof.
I still think number three on this list, I still think the Buffalo Bills are better than the Cowboys. I've took them up two spots from five to three. I've got them number three on this list. And then number two on this list, down one spot. I knocked them out of the first place. The Kansas City Chiefs are number two on this list. I still love them. I don't think they lose the rest of the season. I think that was their last loss of the season, quite frankly. And then number one is Philadelphia Eagles. First time they're number one on the list for me, I think. It was Bills all year long, and then they had the Chiefs take them over. And I think the Philadelphia Eagles with 11 wins, I mean, talk about impressive. They punked the Tennessee Titans. Nobody punks them. You know, you out-battle them like the Bengals did. You out-grit them. You out-tough them. They just punked them. And they wound up, they run for 350 yards in a win the week before, and they throw for 350 yards in a win just on Sunday. So right now, I tip my cap to them, and that's my the leader of my latest power rankings.
I actually would put Dallas three and move,
over the Bills,
and move Kansas City down to four.
And who would you have at two? Niners?
I would have the Bills too.
Okay, so you have the Bills at two above the Cowboys, and the Chiefs are down at four?
Yeah, Niners. Nah,
I still think the
– And I would put the Bengals, actually. I'm surprised you didn't put Cincinnati five.
I didn't because I still love the Niners, and I need to see Purdy a little bit more.
Brock Purdy's not
Joe Right Burrow. Now, though, and this will, you know, as we say goodbye, right now, Chiefs beat the Cowboys if they play each other.
I disagree.
Chiefs beat the Cowboys.
I don't know about that.
Well, we'll have a whole show tomorrow to talk about it.
I didn't hate your list.
Hey, thank you. Appreciate that. Thank you. I'll take that as a compliment.